Good evening. It's nice to be with you. And it has been nice to be with you. Oh, that's Grayland's cheat sheet. Been a joy to be with you these last, indeed, 2.5 weeks. And I just thank you for all of the hospitality and even some of the hostility. And for the fellowship and for opening your homes and for all of the delight and for all of the joy that we've had. It's just been a really super time. So I really kind of hate to leave, but it's tempered by the fact that I do come back in about 5 months. So that won't be bad. Back for the conference and 2 weeks, a little bit more than that, actually, after the conference. So really looking forward to that. Hopefully, Carol will be able to come for the first 9 or 10 days. The children are in school till the 17th of June, and that just won't make it as far as all of us coming this time. So what can you do? But look forward greatly to being back with you. Well, I'll tell you, I've always wondered where Darcy and Demetria got their talent. And now I know. It must be Yulita. Someday I want to hear her do a solo. She must be very good. Our reading tonight. A number of you have asked me to sing, but we don't have time, so I had a song already, but I don't think I can I? When I'm finished. Ross, you may leave if you want. Well, I want us to read tonight, if you would please, two sections, Psalm 119, back to Psalm 119 again for a few verses. The first Tuesday night that we were together, we took care of and looked at guarding our minds. Last Thursday night, guarding our hearts. And this evening, guard your life. Verse 1 of Psalm 119. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, who walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. For a final reading, verse 14 of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And our reading tonight. Indeed, I really don't want to keep you very late tonight because I sure caught it for going a few minutes overtime last Thursday night. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord or what agreement hath Christ with Belial, who is the prince of demons? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. You shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Well, in our progression, as we have noticed it, everything starts with the mind, so does sin. And if allowed to linger there, it seems to move on to the heart where we countenance it. And in a moment of opportunity for the evil one, if it goes beyond that, then you act on what you think and what your heart desires. So it's critical for us to guard our lives. I think of the question that the Lord Jesus asked in Matthew 22, verse 42. Admittedly taking it out of context, he said, what do you think of Christ? And I think that tonight the answer to that The answer in our own personal lives to what we really think of Christ can be answered, can't it? By to what degree we guard our minds and our hearts and our lives. I think of the Apostle Paul. He could say to the church in Philippi, I thought that was the one that Dudley was going to give out. It's Philippians 1:21. And he said this, For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For me to live is Christ. Friends, you can't say that if you haven't spent a lifetime guarding your life. I think of John the Baptist. What do you think of Christ? I think of what Matthew records in the 3rd chapter concerning the baptism of the Lord Jesus. Here was one who had known, because he was 6 months older, he had known the Lord Jesus as his earthly cousin. And when the Lord comes to him in Bethabara, where he is baptizing, as the Jordan River serpentines its way down to the Dead Sea, it's just a few miles above the Dead Sea. And there the Lord Jesus comes to John, who's baptizing, a water baptism unto repentance. And the Lord Jesus asks him at the very commencement of his earthly ministry, he asks John to baptize him. Twice over in that chapter, John tells us afterwards that he didn't know who he was. All he had known was that whenever you find Messiah, you will know him by the Spirit of God descending in the form of a dove and lighting upon him. And so, of course, the Lord Jesus asked John to baptize him. And John, you can imagine it in horror, he says, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? But the Lord said, suffer it now to be so. They go down into the waters of baptism. The Lord Jesus arises from the water. The Spirit of God descends upon him. And the voice from heaven says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The very next day, the Lord Jesus is walking on the banks of Galilee to John and the other disciples. And John exclaims that marvelous phrase that really answers the question. He said, behold, look with adoring wonder on the Lamb of God sent to bear away the sin of the world. And he has given us in his 5 books more glimpses of the Lamb than any others put together. There's a man named Stephen. His life is recorded in Acts chapters 6 and 7. And he was the first recorded martyr of the church. Notice what characterizes the life of Stephen. It's all we know of him, other than the fact that he was the first of the deacons chosen for the assembly in Jerusalem. And so as such, he had to be a person well respected. But characterizing him are faith, control of the Holy Spirit, power, wisdom, an angelic countenance. We read that all who looked upon him felt that they were beholding the face of an angel. And lastly, he was characterized by Christian grace. And when we think of Stephen and we ask that question, what do you think of Christ? Have you guarded your life? It's about to be lost. But up to this point, have you guarded your life? Stephen says this, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. As the stones come hurling into his body, words quite reminiscent of the Lord Jesus himself, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The Bible is redolent with examples of those who guarded their lives. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, perhaps the one and most foremost way where people fail to guard their lives. The Lord Jesus himself talked about it. Paul reiterates it to the Corinthians, and he calls it the unequal yoke. You often hear it talked about concerning marriage, and it's certainly applicable. To any of our young people this evening who are approaching marrying age, I want to be very kind tonight, but I hope we're very, very forceful, for the Word of God is, don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. One of the great things that a carpenter could do, and frankly it was their final exam, if you will, was to fashion a double yoke out of wood. The yoke was that which was fitted over the shoulders and the neck of an oxen, and then underneath. And the great pinnacle of a carpenter's art was to custom design a double yoke for two different oxes. Oxen? Oxi? I don't know what they are, but whatever they are in plural, oxen. So that the two of them, even one bigger than the other, one stronger than the other, one lazier than the other, so that the two of them would pull as one team. You see the word picture, don't you, that he paints? Listen, love is a marvelous thing. And really, the first couple of years, as they say, it takes about 2 years for the honeymoon to fade. That's not true. It should never really fade. But after a while, little things become big things. Little habits, little idiosyncrasies, little annoying things can become big things. But I think all married couples here tonight would be very happy to tell you that if a marriage is not based on, first and foremost, as its foundation, a common desire to love and serve the Lord Jesus Christ, when the cold north wind blows, there's a difference in the striving and in the pulling. So young people tonight, please guard your lives. If I could tell you in the last 6 years since I've been traveling full time, the number of women and the number of men that have come to me with broken hearts, they're not saying that they don't love their spouse. They do. But there's a difference. And they come to meeting alone. And they go home to a house with no encouragement. And you pay for it. I'm sure they love their spouses. And by the way, if there are any here tonight and you have an unsaved spouse, don't forget what Paul also writes. You're to live before your spouse in such a way, in a meekness and humility, that you can try to win them through your life to the Savior. But of course, the thoughts tonight are for those that are not yet married. But as well, there can be an unequal yoke in business. The same principle applies to a partnership in business. When one person is a believer and one person's not, there are certain ethics and certain morals that you hold strongly, but your partner who's unsaved just may not. And if he or she transgresses, your testimony can be dragged down. And so you see where the apostle and where the Lord Jesus are getting at. This is not to be meant as a rebuke. It's for our protection. And so to protect ourselves, we have to guard our lives. Social life. Who do we hang out with and where do we go? We can't be unequally yoked. What fellowship does light have with darkness? Obviously none, they're opposites. What fellowship can there be between the Lord Jesus and His holiness and Belial, the prince of demons? What concord can there be of righteousness on one side and unrighteousness, holiness or wickedness? You see the mutual opposites that all of these are. And so I trust tonight that you take this in and burn it into the forefront of your mind. We have to guard our hearts. We have to guard our lives. You really can't prove this scripturally, but I want to just touch on something very briefly in closing. And it's the uneven yoke. Young people, you do not need to marry. You do not need to marry somebody who has no interest in spiritual things if you do. There are a lot of well-intentioned people that think that they can bring their partner up to their level. My friends, it almost always works in reverse. Watch for the uneven yoke too. There are consequences to everything that we do. Positive things we do have consequences. The good things that we do have pleasant consequences. The scripture is also filled with examples of those. And the consequences of sin are never pleasant. David sinned. He did that which, frankly, an Oriental king should be allowed to do in the commonly accepted way of thinking back then. Nothing for an Oriental potentate to take any woman that he wanted. His power was such that he could do it. But when a person serves God, they're held to a much higher standard. And David sinned. And when Nathan the prophet came in, what did he say? The sword will never depart from your house. Was David forgiven? Absolutely and completely. But were there consequences? Absolutely and completely. And of course we think of Moses. He came before us tonight. Much about Moses. What happened to him? Numbers chapter 20. God told him to touch a rock. What did he do? In a bit of anger, and that's all it was, a bit of anger, he smote the rock. And where did he die? He saw it in the distance. But God did not let him, after 40 years of fearlessly leading the people of God through the wilderness. Some scholars say 43 years. What's a few years when you're talking that many? But God holds his people to higher standards. Guard your lives. And it's worth it. Years ago, the preachers used to say an old poem. It was actually a hymn, I believe. And the first verse, or the chorus of it said this, "There's only one life, and it will soon pass. It's only what's done for Christ that lasts." Guard your minds. Don't let Satan get an inroad into that mind of yours. Guard your hearts, your affections. Guard your lives. Father, we do give thanks tonight for our blessed Savior and for all that He means to us, for the warning of the Word of God, and for the instruction. Bless Thy Word to us, we pray, as we give our thanks. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're 7 minutes over. You really? Do you want a song? You do.